In the name of the living and triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember that feeling of dread you got back in your school days when you were told that there was going to be a pop quiz or an unexpected test? That often brought on a feeling of panic, followed by the thought, if only I had studied more, I would be ready. But then perhaps you also have had the experience of the teacher saying, but it's an open book test. All the answers are right there. You have all the information you need. What a gracious teacher they were. When Jesus relates the parable of the farmer planting the seeds, he tells his listeners right at the onset that the events of the story may be compared to the kingdom of heaven. This tip, so to speak, from the teacher may prompt them to listen carefully as Jesus provides his explanation. But even this information is not enough for the bewildered disciples. You know, sometimes in Holy Scripture, we just scratch our head and wonder, when are they going to get it? They were waiting until the crowd leaves before they approach their beloved teacher to ask for the help that they needed. They confess their need. Explain to us, they say, the parable of the weeds in the field. Such willingness to ask for help, a good first step to learning, is realizing just how much we need to learn or how much we don't already know. There is a saying that goes like this: when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. The disciples recognized their need and wanted to learn. They turned to their teacher for explanation and illumination. Their hearts were opened, and they were ready to receive the wisdom of Jesus. And you know, and I know, that if your heart is not in the right place, in other words, if you don't have a desire to want to learn, guess what? It's not going to happen. We have to have that desire. And in our faith, desire is an important understanding as to what lays in store, what we're ready for if we have a desire. The 5-year-old child that comes to the altar rail and his parents are constantly putting his arms over his chest and he's putting his hands out to receive. You've seen it, I've seen it, but it's an indicator. That may be the first seeds of desire in that young person to receive. Everyone is receiving something and they're being left out, and they know that. And so they would like to receive as well. They may not know the fullness of the sacrament, but they know they want to participate. They have a desire. We would be wise to follow the disciples' example in this gospel reading. Wouldn't we all be better off if we would not try to pretend that we understand everything or that everything in our lives is just fine? Thank you very much. What would happen in our lives if we had the vulnerability to say, I need some help. I'm not able to do this on my own. You see, chances are someone, or perhaps even some ones, would offer support and guidance. This did happen to me this past week on a matter I was helping within our own ACNA province, and sure enough, two others on the committee offered support and guidance. One of them even thanked me for being vulnerable. Sometimes we want to project something that we may not be fully bought into. Life is not meant to be a test that we struggle through without any help. It just isn't. Jesus demonstrates a heavenly open book test when he responds to the disciples with insight and instruction. Jesus provides the disciples with encouragement and wisdom that will help them as they endeavor to follow and serve him. It's a hard task that is in front of them, and he knows that. It says, if the test they are preparing for is actually their own discipleship, and Jesus, as their teacher, supplies them with the answers they needed to be faithful and effective. It is often easier to be the one who offers help than the one who receives it. That's just part of human nature, I believe. There are times, however, when we need to follow the disciples' lead and ask for assistance. Jesus encourages this attitude of seeking for wisdom by reminding them, "Let anyone with ears listen," he says. Jesus always wants to teach us. Our job is to be ready to learn, to listen to him. On the Mount of Transfiguration, what did his and our Heavenly Father say? "This is my Son, of whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." In other words, you haven't been listening to him. Listen to him more closely. Jesus begins by informing the followers of the very real dangers that exist in our world, in their world. The farmer does everything right. He plants good seeds and faithfully tends his fields, just like farmers are called to do. Despite his diligence, though, an enemy appears and spreads weeds throughout the crop. The story reminds us that despite our good intentions, our very best intentions and best efforts, there can be setbacks and obstacles that threaten to ruin even our best laid plans in life. Simply hearing Jesus acknowledge that there are times when things go wrong can be reassuring to us. We need to hear his words. We often place a heavy burden on ourselves by imagining that our actions and our faith completely control all the events in our lives. Sometimes we want to believe that our faith should protect us from every misfortune, and then we never grow into the fullness of faith. The truth remains that there are other factors at work in the world. Sometimes these misfortunes are a result of evil intentions. We know that, we see that, we understand that. And sometimes bad things simply happen, even to good people that have faith, like you. Forewarned is forearmed, the saying goes. Jesus' warning that we should anticipate challenges and interference along our journey can be most helpful to us. It should be encouraging to us. Jesus states clearly that things do go wrong and that events do not always work in our favor. Even the best laid plans and the most good-hearted intentions sometimes in life can be foiled through no fault of our own. We did nothing to bring it about, but it happened anyway. Sometimes we can point to a concrete cause, and other times we might be baffled by how circumstances have seemingly lined up against us. The whole world is pressing in on us. In any case, we can be reassured that a string of unfortunate events in our lives does not indicate that we are separated from the love of God. It's just not true. Misfortune and great need are not outside the realm of God's concern. He can handle all things. God is even, and maybe especially in, those scary, challenging places where we need him the most in our lives. Jesus offers us assurance that we should not lose heart. Don't do that. Easier said than done. The natural impulse of the householder's slaves is to immediately rid the field of the threat. They want to gather up the weeds and destroy them. That's their mission, they think. It comes as a surprise to them when the master cautions them not to be too hasty. Take a step back. He warns them that they might destroy good plants while they are rooting out the dangerous weeds. The plants, he explains, can look very similar when they are young. The slaves must wait until the plants mature and reveal their true characteristics. Jesus seems to be encouraging us to be very careful about making judgment about others. It can be difficult, he teaches, to discern which is the weed and which is the valuable weed. We wouldn't want to toss out the precious crop in our haste. It is better to allow them both to grow. The farmer will make that judgment at a later time. All of us know that we should avoid poison ivy. I don't have to tell you that. Many people have allergic reactions to poison ivy that can include itching and an uncomfortable rash and worse. No one wants poison ivy to grow in their yard. Campers and hikers know one way to identify it by its three-leaflet leaves, but there are also non-harmful three-leaflet plants that some people mistake for the itchy weed. If you yank those harmless plants out of the ground, you would be destroying useful ground cover, or in some cases, trees in their early stages. This parable can remind us of the importance of offering grace to one another. Let me repeat that. This parable in today's gospel can remind us of the importance of offering grace to one another. It is not our job to judge each other. We can wait and allow God to do that later, and He will. But he's got it under control. The person who might, to our critical eyes, seem to be of little value may in fact be someone who is loving and serving God the only way they can and know how to. Instead of ignoring or disdaining someone, we need to care for all of God's people, every single one of them. We might just be surprised at who turns out to be of great value later. There is an example from nature that can remind us of this lesson. Perhaps you have heard of fool's gold. Fool's gold is a mineral called pyrite. It is bright yellow and can easily mislead someone into believing they have discovered gold. Maybe you have seen this in an old Western movie. Someone who is given a piece of gold as a payment, maybe for a reward. And what is the first thing that they do? They put that chunk of sparkling rock in their mouth and bite down on it. They don't want to simply believe their eyes. They are putting that piece of rock to the test. No one can discern its value simply by looking at it. Biting down reveals the truth. It's a test. A bite will leave an indentation on real gold, but not on pyrite. We cannot always believe what our eyes tell us. Sometimes we must go deeper and seek more information. We may discover a diamond in the rough in the guise of someone who outwardly appears of little value to us. Jesus was warning his followers not to be too eager to start weeding in the process of trying to rid themselves of the weakest link. They might hurt those who are trying to love and serve the Lord. The answer to the test is trust the teacher. Jesus knows that an unlikely group of people can come together, united by their faith in God. Together, those followers can shine like the sun. We've seen it happen. You've seen it happen as well. And they spread God's hope and grace near and far in their community. Grace is a commodity that is abundant in this life. If we look for it, use it on the people God has placed around you in this life. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.